Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 83 on October 12th, 2019. I'm your host, Eric. And in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on GameStop, the Invesco Triple Q Trust, and the Walt Disney Company. And we discussed three new trades on Sprint, the S&P Biotech ETF, and Micron Technologies. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners. If you have any questions about the trades presented here on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can email questions to eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's eric@theweeklyoption.com. And thanks so much for the emails I received this week and last week. You guys are just amazing. I've got the best listeners on earth because you write me and tell me what you think of the show and ask questions, some of which are pretty easy, some of which make me think, but all of which I totally appreciate. So keep writing, keep emailing, and I promise to get back to all of you, so thank you so much. Now, I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to understand in order to follow along with me on this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab to watch them, or visit the YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, the U.S. equity market had its first positive finish in the last 4 weeks. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 242 points, ending the week at 26,816 points. The S&P 500 index finished 18 points higher, closing at 2,970 points. Now let's discuss the topic of the week. The topic of the week is sponsored each week by the Options Studio. If you want to learn to trade options without any calculus and confusing language, visit the website to learn more about this online course. Visit www.theoptionstudio.com for more information. Now, the topic of the week this week is a big one, and it's kind of nerdy, but I think it's still valid, and that is the fallacy of the Black-Scholes equation for retail traders. Now, there's this equation called the Black-Scholes equation, and it changed option trading significantly in that it allowed people to have a mathematical model for valuing options accurately. There's one key assumption in the Black-Scholes equation that makes it less valuable or less of use for non-professional traders. And there are tons of assumptions that make this model work, but the key one that I'm going to focus on this week is dynamic hedging. The concept of dynamic hedging is based on wanting to keep your option position neutral to moves in the underlying stock. So if I were to sell a 20 delta call option, I would look to buy 20 shares of stock so that whenever the stock moved $1, in theory, my option position would have 20 cents of value that it would either gain or lose. And so I would do the opposite in the stock so that my options are kept pure from the moves, from any movement in the stock. So another big assumption in just option trading in general, and it is core to every option valuation model, and that is that all profit comes from changes in volatility or other factors other than stock movement. So that's what made dynamic hedging so valuable, is you're assuming that a stock trader, a professional trader, is not making money on the underlying movement with his stock, because he'd get a more full profit from stock movement just by trading the stock. Now, that's a lot of ways to just say that professional traders try to hedge out their stock risk and non-professionals don't. Most non-professional traders I know don't hedge. And there are a number of reasons for this. If you have a full-time job as, say, a lawyer or doctor, you don't have time to watch the market all day long and trade stock to offset any movement in the value of your options, right? You're just not going to do it. So because most retail investors, most non-professional traders don't hedge constantly, I actually, on my show and in the way that I teach people to think about trading, I don't discuss concepts like delta and gamma. Delta, of course, tells you the amount that your option value will change based on a $1 move in the stock or in the underlying future, whatever it will be. And your gamma tells you how much your delta is going to change during that same $1 movement in the underlying. So if you're not dynamically hedging, then delta becomes less relevant, and gamma certainly is not a topic. Now, for professional traders, professional option traders specifically, trading your gamma is huge, right? There are guys that are great long gamma traders. There are guys that are great short gamma traders. And as a floor trader at the CBOE, I found that most of us were short gamma traders, which meant that our option position was largely short, meaning we had typically sold more options than we had purchased. And because of that, that left us with a short gamma position. So we constantly had to hedge that position, because short gamma actually ends up costing you money as the in whatever direction the market moves. Whereas long gamma, your position is actually moving in value with the direction or with the movement in the underlying market. So you have to be less concerned about trading your gamma throughout the day. And there are systems for it throughout. So some short gamma traders trade it, they'd cover after every 50 deltas or every 20 deltas, or they would just wait until the end of the day to hedge. A long gamma trader might wait until a day or two or something like that before hedging their position, because their position was increasing in value and profit along with the changes in gamma. So there are all these things, and that's part of what makes option trading very complicated and very difficult. But the beauty of it, and the reason I take this stance both in my course and on the show about not dealing with delta and gamma, is because most of our trades aren't being delta hedged. So if you're not hedging, if you're not covering the delta at the start of the position, and you're not covering your gamma along the way with the position, that changes everything. So now we truly can just focus on concepts like break-even price and what your maximum profit is and what your maximum loss is. So it may be somewhat difficult, to keep up with, for you guys that listen to my show, you might not be able to keep up with the, super cool cocktail conversation if someone talks about options, where they start discussing, concepts about gamma and, volatility and whatnot. But you can always turn around and ask them if they know the break-even point for all of their positions. And, what's their maximum total risk and their maximum profit, for each of their positions. Because I found that as much as I love complicating things, and people, I tell you guys, I can complicate, emptying the groceries. Trust me, I can complicate the most simple processes, but what I found is the more simple I made my option trading, the more money I made. And there is a direct correlation. The less complicated, the more money. And so on this show, that's why we keep things super simple. You might be saying, option trading really can't be this simple. It really can be. Trust me, if you find a way to make money that is simple, you have a good shot at making it work. If I give you trades that require 2, 3, 4 other things to work along the way, and not keeping up with any of those pieces will lose you money, chances are you're going to lose money. And that's how a lot of guys end up blowing up, because they have these complicated positions on that require 2, 3, 4 different first and second nature concepts or movements for their position to work. And when they don't get all of those things in line, or if their thesis was wrong to start, then they're going to lose money and possibly lose it big. keep it simple. And honestly, I might return to talking about something simple next week because I just love simplicity. The more simple I keep my business, the more money I make. So that's it for the topic this week. It really is just, some of you, I know as you learn about option trading, as you read books, you're going to read about the Black-Scholes equation, and you might wonder why I don't cover that sort of thing on this show. And the reason is most of you aren't dynamically hedging. In fact, if you have a full-time job, I would argue that you should avoid trading options in a way that requires you to hedge throughout the day. You're going to get distracted from your number one money source, which may be your actual profession. Instead, focus on trading positions that will allow you the comfort, right? The comfort and the ability to not need to be in front of a computer all day, dynamically hedging and trading your gamma to keep up with your options position. Don't allow smaller money to take you out of your big money, right? And, you know, maybe one day I'll create a podcast for professional traders. But let's be honest, because I'm a professional trader myself, and I think I know it all, and most of us professional traders do. We think we know it all. We might listen for another guy's ideas, but the truth of the matter is, you know, no broker is going to tell me anything about the option market that I probably don't already know. And that's a bit of arrogance and ego, and you know, you're master of the universe, right? So this show is not for the guys that know it all. This show isn't for the guys that have their, you know, $1,800 a month Bloomberg subscriptions and then another subscription to Reuters and possibly some other, you know, data feeds coming in direct from the exchanges. This show is for the guy that turns around and, you know, puts a position on Monday morning and is probably going to look at it again Monday night and isn't going to have time during the day to hedge that trade and the movement that happens from the gamma in that trade. So totally get it. And I also have my own business, so I don't sit in front of the computer all day long. As much as I love option trading, and trust me, I can geek out with you guys all day long talking about options, but it's not my number one moneymaker because I have another business. So I love options. I'll always be a trader. Even in years that I make, you know, most of my money, more money from option trading than in my business, I still am focused, you know, on my business during the day. So this trade is for, this podcast tends to be for you guys, but I always love hearing from professional traders too, because I don't know, it's just fun. It's great. It thrills me to death that you guys would take the time to listen to me. Any of you guys would take the time to listen to me. And then, you know, I appreciate the emails I get that give me a little bit of a nod, you know, a nod from a professional. You know, I put that one in my back pocket, and you know, I read those emails on the weeks, like, you know, a couple weeks ago where I lose money on all three trades. I go back to my emails from professionals and feel like I'm still on the right path. So that's it. It's enough of me rambling. Let's get into the trades from last week. So we'll start off with the review. We looked at a covered call on GameStop. Symbol GME, G as in golf, M as in Mike, E as in Echo. The stock at the time was trading for $5.55. I looked at buying that stock and selling the October 6th call at 15 cents, hoping for a 10.81% return in 2 weeks. Now, GameStop shares lost 18 cents this week, closing at $5.37 per share on Friday. The October 6th call we sold also lost 12 cents of value. That leaves us with a net loss on the week of only 6 cents. Now, we only have 1 week left for October options, and I would still roll the strike lower by buying in that October 6th call, which we that would allow us to actually lock in 12 cents of profit on the option. And then we're going to turn around and sell the October 5 half call at 9 cents. If stock stays where it is right now, we walk away with a 3 cent profit on the trade, which is better than a loss. And if stock closes higher than $5.50 per share, we will keep a total profit of 21 cents, an option premium, and possibly have a little bit of profit in the stock too. So if it goes lower, of course, we still have the 3 cents of profit cushion before taking a loss at all on the stock on this trade. So that is it on this stock, but I'm not big on rolling it forward, meaning buying in the October call and then selling a call in November. I'm not big on rolling it forward unless you decide that you want to own this stock long term. If this is a longer term stock play for you, then certainly rolling the short call forward, meaning into the next month, is fine. But if this is not a long term stock play for you, if this is truly just a covered call position for you, then you know, keep it within October, and we'll see if you make or make money or lose any money on this trade in the next 5 business days. Next up, we have a credit spread on the Invesco QQQ Trust, symbol QQQ, Q as in Quebec, Quebec, Quebec. So the stock at the time was trading for $188.81, and we sold that October 191.5 call spread at 20 cents, which can yield a maximum loss of 30 cents. Now I'm gonna give a bit longer explanation on this trade here. Don't feel bad about pulling out your notebook and taking some notes or even listening to this explanation a couple of times, because there's gonna be a lot going on in this. So with the market ending stronger this week, our sale of this call spread took a loss. So the Triple Q ETF gained $2.30 per share this week, closing at $191.11. The out of the money call spread we sold is now at the money. So in fact, I sold that 191 call, and the 191 call has 11 cents of intrinsic value at the moment. So the spread we sold for 20 cents is now worth 36 cents. And we have a few decisions to make. So with 1 week left, you can sit back and just hope that the market goes lower so that you finish with the profit. Because we're only 11 cents in the money right now on our short call. So I don't like trading hope. Math has treated me a whole lot better in my trading career. So I would typically say, hey, let's just sell a put spread against this call spread and walk away. But I have something a little more aggressive in mind, mostly because we only have 1 week left in October. So I'm looking at selling an additional call spread. So selling that October 194.5 call spread and collecting 9 cents, which typically isn't enough for me. But along with that, I'm going to sell 2 of the October 189.5/189 put spreads for 9 cents each. And that's a total of 18 cents we take in on the put spread side of things. So all in all, I'm looking at collecting an additional 27 cents in premium for this October trade. Now this changes things quite a bit, because now I'm going to have $1 of exposure on the put side, and that's, you know, $1 of exposure if the market goes lower, and I also will have $1 of risk on the call side if the market goes higher. Our original trade had a maximum possible loss of 30 cents on a spread value of 50 cents of max risk. So that's 60% of premium that was at risk. But with this change, if you sell the additional 3 spreads this week, our new trade with the 2 call spreads and 2 put spreads has a total of 47 cents of premium and a maximum of 53 cents of maximum risk on $1 spread each way. That means that we've lowered our maximum amount of risk from 60% of the spread value down to 53% of spread value. And I hope you guys just go back through the math and you'll figure that out. But it's the fact that we took in 20 cents on our original spread. We're going to take in another 27 cents this week. That means we will have collected 47 cents. And now our total at risk is $1, either on the downside or on the upside. So we actually have lowered our overall risk on this trade on a percentage basis. And if the market were to close right here in a week, we would finish with a 36 cents profit. Now we could lose the 11 cents of intrinsic value on the 191 call that we sold, because it's 11 cents in the money. But we sold the spread for 20 cents, which leaves 9 cents of profit with prices right here, and then we would also keep the 27 cents from additional spreads that we'd be looking to sell. And the reason I'm pointing this out and making sure it's a focus is to remind you that options expire individually. Even though we know we sold a spread, at expiration, we look at each option to see if it has any intrinsic value or if it's going to expire worthless. So the main thing to consider with something like this is your commission structure with your brokerage, because we can go through the math and find all sorts of ways to make sure that we make money on this trade. But if you, as you start to add additional legs, sometimes the only one that makes money in this will be your brokerage. So definitely make sure that you have a commission structure that allows you to still make money on this trade. One of the ways that I am able to put on this sort of trade structure is that I focus on using brokerage platforms that charge me only based on the volume of options that I trade, not a flat fee plus the volume of options. So a lot of places, there are lots of brokerages out there that'll charge you $4.95 for trading options plus a certain amount for the volume of options, you know, X amount of cents per option that you trade, or maybe a penny an option. I tend to prefer guys that that cost me just, you know, based on the volume of options, not with the flat fee. Because if you start with the flat fee, that's just additional money that you have to make to cover the cost of that commission. Now let's hop into the next trade. Our debit spread last week was the Walt Disney Company. We looked at a debit spread on Walt Disney Company, symbol D as in Delta, I as in India, S as in Sierra. At the time, the stock was trading for $130.27. And I looked at buying the October 132-131 put spread for 63 cents, hoping for a maximum gain of 37 cents, or that's a 58.73% return in 2 weeks. Now, shares of Disney fell 25 cents this week, closing at $130.02. The in-the-money put spread we bought is even more in the money. So if we tried to sell this spread right now at the posted bid, we would actually lose money. However, if we tried to buy more of it using the posted ask for the spread, it would actually cost us 24 cents more. So we know we've made money on this trade. And the truth of it is that I'm just going to ride this trade for one more week, hoping to lock in that gain of 37 cents on 63 cents of risk. That's 58% gain in 2 weeks. It's tough to do that in just about any asset class. And here we talk about ways to do it in options each month. Now, always keep your break-even price in mind and be vigilant in protecting your positions during expiration week. All sorts of craziness can happen in expiration week because you'll have guys, you know, either individual traders or even large pensions that are going to be, you know, hedging and doing all sorts of things with their positions. So the break-even point for this trade is $131.37. That means that we're making a profit as long as we finish lower. We right now are, you know, $1.35 away from our break-even price, but still you want to keep an eye on Disney this week just to make sure you finish this trade with a profit. So right now we are looking at getting our full profit, which is great. So that's it for last week's trades. Of course, we are 1 week away from options expiration in October. It's this upcoming Friday, October the 18th. And so all of this week's trades are actually going to be in November. In some shows in the past, I've looked at some 1 week trades. And, you know, I don't even want to say those are 50-50. I mean, sometimes you find some numbers that work and then something happens and, you know, the trade blows up in a week, and so it's just not even worth it. So I'm going to put my focus on November. If you do decide to enter some new October trades this week, just expect all sorts of things, including volatility, to just kind of do some weird things. So be vigilant. That's all I can say. Protect your money. But we're going to go ahead and look at some November trades. So we'll start off with our covered call like we do on every week, every show. Start off with a covered call on the Sprint Corporation, symbol S as in Sierra. The stock ended the week at $6.42. And I'm looking at buying that stock and selling the November 7 call at 12 cents, hoping for a maximum possible return of 10.9% in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying Sprint stock for $6.42 and selling the November 7 call at 12 cents. This trade makes the most money if stock prices finish above $7 per share, and the break-even price is $6.30 per share. Our next trade is going to be a credit spread on the S&P Biotech ETF, symbol XBI. X is in X-ray, B is in Bravo, I is in India. The stock ended the week at $77.12, and I'm looking at selling the November 77-76 put spread, collecting 34 cents for a maximum possible loss of 66 cents per spread. You enter this trade by selling the November 77 put at $2.55 and concurrently buying the November 76 put for $2.21. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $77 per share. The break-even price on this trade is $76.66. Then our final trade on the week is a debit spread. We're looking at a company we've traded before, Micron Technologies, symbol MU. M is in Mike, U is in uniform. Stock ended the week at $45.10. And I'm looking at buying the November 44-45 call spread for 63 cents, which leaves us with a maximum gain of 37 cents or 58.73% possible return in 5 weeks. Now, you enter this trade by buying the November 44 call for $2.86 and concurrently selling the November 45 call at $2.23. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices stay above $45 per share. The break-even price for this trade is $44.63. That's it for this week's show. Thank you guys so much again for listening. Feel free also to share this podcast with friends of yours and family members, or even folks you work with who have an interest in trading options. We're definitely growing the show. The show is growing. If you guys have anything that you'd like to hear me talk about that would be good for non-professional traders, or if you have any questions about your positions or just about option trading in general, I love talking about options. So feel free to reach out to me. My email address, of course, is eric@theweeklyoption.com. Have an incredible week. Finish up strong this October expiration. That's it. Happy trading. Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.